It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Mark chapter 6, verse 45.
And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people.
He sent away the people, 5,000 men, the ladies and children. They were more than 5,000. So he sent them away and told the disciples, now you get into your ship and go other town. And then this story is written in Matthew chapter 14. You can read from 22 to 33 and John chapter 6 verse 14 to 21. But here we see, now Jesus tells his disciples, go to other side. And now they are sitting in a boat, they are going. But once God tells us to do something, we have to obey it. Sometime it will be difficult, sometime it might be easy. But when God tells you to do something, then God is going to come to rescue you also. Let's read the verse 46.
And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray.
Now, here we see, disciples, they are always with Jesus. This time, Jesus was tired, disciples were tired. In that last chapter when we were reading, it says they were very tired and weary. And Jesus wanted to go to some quiet place, and they didn't tell anybody, let's go to quiet place and we will have some quiet time. But when they reached there, there were multitudes of people already there. And so they didn't have time. So Jesus sent these people away, and now he's going to the mountain. Now this is already evening. Jesus going to the mountain alone, sending the disciples to travel. And now, Jesus is praying there. It's not a 1 hour or 2 hours. He's spending almost a night there in praying. And the disciples alone, traveling. And see what happens. Verse 47.
And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them.
Now here we see, these people, they are going. Jesus Christ is only on the land, and now they are in the sea. And when they start traveling, the wind comes against them. And they are trying their best to pass. And somebody would say, why Jesus did this? He should have gone with them. Now they are alone. They are struggling. Wind is blowing against them. And here word of God says, they are now middle of the sea. So now they cannot come back. If they come back, Jesus will say, didn't I tell you to go there? And if they cannot go other way, they are in the middle. And they are struggling. And they were frustrated. That's what happens sometimes. When you are sick, afflicted, no job, nobody cares, and that time you are just like in middle of the sea and say, Lord, where are you? Why are you not coming to rescue me? Why is this happening to me? I'm a child of God. I go to church. I pray. I give the tithes. I give offering. And I'm a good person. Why this is happening to me? And many people, when this thing happened, they give up on God. And then they say, we don't want this Christianity. We don't want Jesus. And they walk away from God. But the word of God saying, they were in trouble. Jesus Christ was watching over them. He knew where these people are. Because when you see at the following verse, Jesus Christ is coming and walking on the sea. If he could walk over the sea, he could know what the problem is. Ordinary person will never walk on the sea, right? We will drown. It's against the law. gravity. But here Jesus Christ is walking on the water, and the Word of God says, as he was walking, he says he was going to pass them and go ahead. Now just think, these people are sitting in the boat, struggling in the middle of the sea, cannot go anywhere, and here they see somebody like a ghost coming, and they are already afraid, and now they're thinking, maybe this is the ghost is trying to kill us, and this is the problem. So Jesus Christ, why he didn't go direct to them, but he is passing them? That means he didn't pass close to them. This is like when you are 100 feet away, and when you're coming from this direction, and you're almost in the middle, and then you walking a little bit, couple of feet. So it starts like, you know, you're not coming in their direction, you're passing by. So this was the situation. And they might be thinking, if this was a Jesus, he would not pass away like that. Why is happening to us like this? And this is the situation. Sometimes when we are in trouble, even though God is watching over us, even though God is looking at us, we get frustrated. Sometimes a child, you know, playing with a toy, and toy breaks down, and if mom or dad watching, see what the child is doing. And they watch and see the child is fixing, and it doesn't work, and then finally child start crying. Then you can fix it, or you can buy a new toy. So this is the situation. Jesus Christ is watching over them, and they did not know what happened to Jesus, how he's going to come, because the boats are all gone, and now he's in the mountain, and how he's going to come, and what's going to happen? So this is the problem. In this scripture, it says, this was the fourth watch. Fourth watch means it was almost 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, can you imagine, they started there, evening maybe 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock before the dark, because the people ate and they left. And now they are 6, 7 o'clock, they are traveling. Now they are struggling until the 3 o'clock in the morning. And so they were maybe, this was not a powerboat. This they had to do, you know, with the hand rowing. And so they were really, really tired and really, really frustrated. Let's read verse 49.
But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out.
When they saw Jesus, they didn't recognize him. That means he was far away. It was not too close, even though he was passing by. So, but if you are a little bit far away, and when you have this kind of wind and trouble and water and waves, it's hard to recognize the person. So they could not recognize, so they are crying. Let's read the verse 50.
For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.
Now here, when they were crying, they saw somebody's coming. They did not recognize Jesus. Then Jesus immediately says, that's I. But I was reading in another Bible, it says, I am. And when they say, I am, they heard this I am word somewhere. If you remember, Moses saw the burning bush, and he asked God, when I was talking to him, he says, who are you? He says, I am that I am, that I'm going to send you. So that's the kind of wording used when he says, I am. So these people, as soon as he said, I am, or I am the one, they recognize this is Jesus. But in this book, this is Mark, doesn't say anything that Peter walked on the water. He skipped it. But let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Verse 27 to 33.
But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.
Now see, this is only in Matthew, this is not in Mark. So when we're reading the Bible, we should read all four Gospels to get the message. And if Jesus is walking on the water, I can walk on the water. That's the kind of faith Peter had. Jesus gives him command to come.
And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
Now here we see, when Jesus said Peter to come, Peter, he has to have faith. So he believed. Let's read a little further.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
Now see what happens here. This is the fishermen. They are not afraid of water. They are not afraid of drowning. But this was not the ordinary time. The waves were coming. And not only that, it was so big wave came. So you might be thinking, if that wave comes and I go under the wave, I'm finished. And that's the kind of fear came. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. The word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us power, love, and sound mind. Any negative thoughts comes to your mind, you get afraid. When the fear comes, the fear is against faith. When the fear comes, that means it's not from the Lord. It's from the devil. So when we trusting in God, and when you have a problem like this, you just call upon God. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. God will come to rescue you all the time. The word of God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Any situation you go through and you call upon Jesus, Jesus will answer you. But there are Christian people, they are not reading the Bible. They are not praying. They just take somebody's word. And when the problem comes, they don't know where to turn. But our God says, call upon me and I will answer you. Go back to the Matthew. So when Peter saw this wave coming and he started drowning, what did he do? He called upon Jesus.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
As soon as Peter cried and called upon Jesus, I don't know how far Jesus was, but he just gave his hand and picked him up. Now just think, Peter walked from his boat to Jesus 50 feet. It's not given here, but just believe it was almost 50 feet. And now he's drowning and 50 more feet to go. But Jesus stretched his hand and pulled him up. And now they have to come back, right? Now they were not near the boat, so they have to come back walking to the boat. And so it takes the courage. And when you are walking with Jesus, you are not afraid. Even though you are drowning, we had a problem. But once you hold hand up Jesus Christ, you can go through any kind of problem. Like Sammy says, Psalm 23, what he says, I will not fear any evil. So when we have Jesus Christ with us, we don't have to be afraid. Do you know 91 Psalm is a very powerful psalm? When you have problem, sickness, disease, plague, war going around, read that psalm. That is very powerful. Let's read that psalm. It's only 16 verses. Please read.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
So the word of God says, I will deliver him, I will give him long life, and I will show him my salvation. That is the plan of God. So in these Psalms, I'm not going verse by verse. If I start telling, you'll be sitting here for a long time. When you have a trouble and you have fear, read this Psalm. Some people are reading every night before they go to bed. It's a good habit if you want to read. You will not have fear. You will feel in your spirit that God is watching over me. He is here. He is going to protect me. And he promised me thousands and ten thousands right and left you will be seeing. And the plague and disease will come. He just prayed, Lord, protect us. We are your children. And we don't have to live in fear and anxiety. And so the God is watching over us. The psalmist knew this. And just think that Peter knew these things, and he was reading this, and then he, you know, now this trouble and crisis came. Let me call upon Jesus. And when he called upon Jesus, Jesus gave his hand and protected him and brought him back to the boat. Let's go back to the book of Mark, chapter 6, and verse 51.
And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered.
Now here, Mark doesn't say Peter walked with him, but we learn in Matthew, Jesus and Peter came back walking towards the ship, and as soon as Jesus entered into the boat, everything was calm, and these disciples, they were so happy to see Jesus in their boat. So what we're learning? What we need? Jesus in our boat. Jesus in our house. Jesus in our business. Jesus in our crisis. Anytime any problem comes, don't get panic. You know the people, when they have a problem, first thing they will do, call 911. That's nothing wrong. Or first time they call doctor, or they call their lawyers, or they call their friends. First thing you call upon Jesus. There is no big problem to Jesus or no small problem to him. Once we call upon him, he says, I will answer you. So now these disciples were very happy. But if you read in Matthew, they said they were so happy, so joyful, and they even worshipped Jesus Christ. That means they believe he is God. Without God, it cannot happen like this. Okay, let's read further.
For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened.
Here the word of God is saying, they saw Jesus Christ taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes, multiplied, give it to 5,000 men, and just think 5,000 ladies, and maybe 10,000 children, all total maybe 20,000 people. But in Bible it says only 5,000 men, because in those days they will not consider ladies and children. They will just give name of the men. So almost 20,000 people ate the food. Miracle happened. When the crisis came, when the problem came, they just forgot what Jesus did, the miracle. The word of God is trying to say, if he did miracle once, why do you forget? Now just think that somebody had the headache, and some pastor or somebody prayed and headache is gone. And the next time you got a stomachache. Don't you think the same God can heal the stomachache? He can do the same. If my God can heal the headache, he can heal the fever, he can heal the cancer, he can heal anything. If he can multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he's trying to say to disciples, you didn't remember the miracle? their heart was hardened. So who hardens your heart? The devil. The word of God says they forgot what God did, the miracles. Let's read verse 53.
And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him.
The people were already waiting for Jesus. And they recognized Jesus Christ is coming. Now see what happens here. When they saw Jesus, everybody start running to their cities and start gathering people. What we doing? We go to church. We hear the sermon. We get the miracle. And we go home. Stay there. And the next week we come to church. We are not telling anybody what Jesus Christ is doing. You understand? If every believer would go and tell their neighbors, hey, today we heard this message. Would you like to hear this message? My pastor has already recorded that message. I can give it to you. And we can give the CD to them. They can listen to the message. You can give the testimony. So see what these people did. As soon as Jesus came to their town, people started running around. Let's read verse 55.
And ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was.
See, now they ran. See, they ran to each and every town and city, and they start telling people, Jesus Christ is in town. And some of the people were very sick. They could not walk. So they said, carry them on the bed. So some of the bed they carried. So it takes a time, energy, and strength. Because if somebody says, I'm sick, and so how I'm going to go? People come here in wheelchair. But those people brought all these people on the carts and the stretchers and things like that. And they brought all the sick people and lined it up where Jesus Christ was. God did something for you. You have to believe he'll do it for somebody else too. But we are a little bit selfish sometimes. If our neighbor is bad, I don't want that neighbor to get healed. I don't want them to go to church and get better. That's what we think. But we have to humble ourselves, forget about the prejudice, forget about the bitterness, and tell people, if Jesus Christ healed me, I want you to come and see what God is doing. And that's what we have to do, because there are people dying without God and without Christ. And there are so many other churches, they don't want any other person comes to their church. If they come, they look at that person like a stranger. Who is that guy? We never saw him. And so people get panicked. But we don't have to worry. We have to believe if anybody comes, even the thief comes, God can save that person's life. We have to be courageous. We have to be praying for other people. We should not be afraid. When God called me, I went to so many places. I went to Muslims' mosque or Hindu temple or any other places where the people kill Christian people. We have the power of God. We have the name of Jesus. We don't have to be afraid of anybody. So see how these people are bringing so many people. Let's read the verse 56. That's the last verse.
And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole.
These people saw Jesus Christ doing signs and wonders and miracles. All these people are coming. They said, if you just touch his garment, or just the thread of his garment, I will be healed. And people were coming, and the word of God says, the people who came touched him and were made whole. That means they were completely cured. Read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 36.
And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole.
Perfectly whole. When they say they made whole and perfectly whole, it gives a little bit power. That means when Jesus heals you, he doesn't heal you halfway. He heals you perfect. Some people said, okay, I'll go to church and I'll tell pastor to pray and then I'll go to doctor and I take my medicine. It's nothing wrong. But that is not the strong faith, right? If somebody says, if I go to church and the pastor prays for me, I will be completely healed. That's called faith. So these people, they touched him, believing him that he's going to heal us. And even the sick people lining up there on their bed, and everybody touched. Not a single person was disappointed. He says everybody were healed and perfectly whole. So Jesus Christ wants to make us perfect. God can heal you, and he can heal you completely. And that's what the Bible teaches. But there are some people teaches, you know, Paul, when he saw Jesus, he saw the light. Even the Ananias touched him and healed him. Still they said, oh, he had some kind of weakness in his eyes. And so they do not believe in perfect healing. And so, but I believe, if you call upon Jesus, and if Jesus heals you, and you don't see the right away that you are healed, but you have to believe. You have to believe that God is going to heal me. There was a one man, when he was prayed for, he was just shaking like this. And after prayer, he's testifying, people, I'm healed. And he's shaking, and people, I'm healed. And everybody's laughing. And he starts saying, 5 minutes, I'm healed, people. Look at me, I'm healed. And all of a sudden, stopped. And he was completely healed. So that's called faith. Even though you don't see healing, you believe it. Mark chapter 11, start reading from verse 22. The word of God says, have faith in God. First, you have to have faith in God. When you have faith in God, and then you pray, whatever the mountains you have, sickness, disease, crisis, or anything comes in between, there is answer. Go ahead.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
See what he's saying? When you pray, as soon as you pray, whatever the things you wanted from the Lord, you just believe that I received it, even though you didn't receive it yet, right? You believe that you received it, and you will have it. That takes a lot of faith. Before you receive it, you believe that I got it. You know Abraham, what he did? He was taking his son for the sacrifice. And he kept his servant there, and he says, we will go do the sacrifice, and we will come back. He did not say, I'm going to sacrifice my son, and he will die, and I'll burn him, and I'll come back. He said, we will go, my son, myself, we will go, we will do sacrifice, and we will come back. And that's what his faith was. He said, my God is so powerful, even though my son goes to ashes, he will bring him out of the ashes. And that's the kind of faith he had. And when he came back with his son, God provided the lamb. So the point I'm making, when we praying, things looks like impossible.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.